Well, God's blessings to you in the powerful and precious name of Jesus Christ. Let's take our Bibles and turn to Psalm 23. Of course, this week is Thanksgiving, and I am so blessed to have this opportunity where people are thinking about God and the things of God and the way that He has blessed them over the years, and especially in this year, the wonderful blessings God has opened to us and continues to open in the eyes of our understanding. It's a great time to be gathered with families and friends for the purpose of being thankful, thankful for our families, thankful for our friends, thankful for our neighbors, thankful for our acquaintances, thankful for co-employees, and thankful for the people who employ us and all these different things, but most of all, thankful for the Lord Jesus Christ and all that God has accomplished through Him and His wonderful works. So I am thrilled that we're taking time to focus on these things and enjoy each other's fellowship, especially having gone through this election season that seems to be and left people with little harshness in their hearts and minds. But I think that will soon fade as we focus on the blessings of God. A couple of weeks ago, I taught on God's ability for us, and I gave you some of the names for God that sort of describe His virtues, His character, and several relationships we get to enjoy through His commitment and His abilities to us. The one was Elohim, which is our relationship to God. It's used in the Bible in our relationship to Him as a creator. That is to bring things into existence that did not exist before. And things that are brought into existence through His command, such as the new birth for man. His Spirit created in us when we confess Jesus as our Lord and believe in our hearts God raised Him from the dead. Also the name Jehovah, and there's multiple facets to that that I didn't particularly go into, but a good Bible like the Bible with the notes from Bullinger, and in the appendices, he has the various names of Jehovah for God. The name Jehovah specifically is His commitment relationship, a solemn commitment, a covenant, a God who never fails or is swayed from His wonderful commitments to us and the things that He says and the things that He will do. The next one was El Shaddai, God Almighty, it's translated to. And it's in relationship as a giver or a provider to supply all of our needs, spiritually as well as even physically. Another one was Adonai, which is the relationship to bless, regardless of circumstances, conditions, and even situations, and even in elections, I suppose. the one we get from the New Testament, which is in relationship to Him as Father, or Abba, Abba Father, Father, Father. A relationship to, as a Father to us as His children in the new birth. He is a creator. He is a covenant keeper. He's a giver that supplies all of our need. He's a blesser that, regardless of our situation, conditions, or circumstances, and most of all, He is a loving Father to us. Our God and Father and blesser and creator and covenant keeper is an all-the-time God. In all of these qualities, in all of these virtues, it's 24/7 according to our accounting, and it is eternal according to His. It takes all eternity. neither will all of our good nor all of our failure will change these virtues in God and from the way he displays them to us. The scriptures say that God is greater than our hearts, and if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. The great and fulfilling pursuit in life is to seek after him, to seek God with all of our hearts. I know that it is popular in our culture and maybe other cultures, I know it's popular in ours and in our society, to seek after your own heart. I want to know my heart. I seek after my own heart. The scriptures say that's foolishness. Seek after him who is faithful of heart. Seeking after your heart is that which is taught by men who have been deceived by Satan, to lead them into iniquity. It was Satan, it was Lucifer who sought after his own heart, and what he found was iniquity because he turned his heart from God. But God is always there for us. And I've been enjoying the song on one of the CDs that I bought. It's sung by Linda Randall. I'm not quite sure exactly who wrote it. But it's the name of it is called God on the Mountain. And the song reminds us that God on the Mountain, when everything is going well, when life is at its best, you know, it's at its peak, God on the Mountain is still God when we're in the valley with all of those very same virtues, all of those abilities, all of the power to lead us when everything around us doesn't look very good. He's there to lead us as he does upon the mountaintop. And that same God who is God in the good times is still God in the bad. We can always rely on him to lead us out and to direct our steps. And God in the daytime is still God in the night. Even when it is pitch black, even when it was filled with darkness, God is still there. He's still God in the night with all of those values, with all of those abilities, with all of those characteristics. No matter how dark it gets around us, there is God of light that goes before us, and he will direct our steps. In Psalm 23, I wanted to read this to you. It's a very popular psalm. Even some people outside of Christian beliefs read this psalm, have printings of it and other decorations, hangings and all of that stuff. Psalm 23 says, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, because he is the supplier of all of our need. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake." Not a care, not an anxiety should we have, because he leads us. Verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death." What? David, what in the world are you doing? What are you up to? What are you doing walking in the shadow of death? Where the heck are you going? What did you screw up? No. We walk simply in the light, and sometimes walking in the path of light, we go through these areas, but we are still in the light. for David to accomplish the things he needed to accomplish for the children of Israel, many times his life was close to an end, but not never out of God's hands and always in light. He directs our path. Remember, verse 2 tells us, he leadeth me beside the still waters. How did David go beside the still waters? He led me there. He leadeth me in paths of righteousness. Is that the same path he was on when he went by the waters? Then what about, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, because thou art what? Not against me. There are times in life, you know, our world is filled with ups and downs. We have mountains to climb. We have valleys to go through. We have humps to get over while we're driving through the parking lot. You know, there's just ups and downs that happen on our earth. But we are always safe, and we are always right on the path with God, and it is a path that is lighted for us, and it will take us out of the darkness and lead us to the top of the mountain again. We just need to continue to trust in God with all our hearts and lean not unto our own understanding. In all our ways, acknowledge him, and he will direct our paths. I know and I understand that sometimes we get confused with some of the things that happen in the world, and maybe we do get caught up in them, and maybe we get deceived by them, but the path is still there, and he will lead us to the top of the mountain again, to the best times and the good times and all of that. But we'll still go back to the valley. We'll still go back to the bad times. We'll still go back to the night. But in all those situations, he is still God Almighty with all of those qualities, all of those characteristics, and all of those abilities, and he will lead us as he has promised. At times the path goes by the shadow of death, but I'm not afraid because I know he is with me. I was thinking about one of our neighbors. He wanted to show me something out in the woods, and we kind of went off the off the path, so to speak, to an area in the woods that he wanted to show me. But, you know, he directed me. He said, watch over here because there's poison ivy. Walk over to this side and come up around this way. You know, and he directed me, and we were surrounded by poison ivy on all sides, but he led me right through it. And that was just a neighbor. Our God is able to see and help us. We see these movies all the time where there's an enemy and someone's trying to lead a group of people, and he leads them on a path right, sometimes right around the enemy, right through the enemy, and leads him to a safe place. Although the route that he took, if you were looking at an overview, it was an unsafe area, but right where they were safe. God will always take us through, and he will lead us and direct us. God on the mountain is still God in the valley. So don't let our times frighten you with, you know, New World Order, which I call New World Chaos or Globalist Chaos. Don't fear or be afraid, because the God who is on the mountain is still God when you're down in the valley or in our cities. You know, I know that some people are concerned about travel, especially now. People will be getting together for Thanksgiving, and some people will be going into these cities. Some of the people will be going out of these cities. we have threats from terrorists, and we have threats from all of these different things, and we have threats from protesters who want to show love, and protesters and all these other things. Don't be afraid. The God who's on the mountain is still the God who's in the valley. Or he's still God when you're in the valley. Let's go to Luke chapter 4. I want to read this entire chapter to you just to emphasize some points for you and bless you. Well, maybe not the whole chapter. We'll start in verse 16. And this is in regard to Jesus Christ, and it's a great example to us of God who is on the mountain is still God who's in the valley. And the God of the good times is still God in the bad times. Verse 16, it's speaking about Jesus Christ. And he came to Nazareth. I'm in Luke 4, 16. And he came to Nazareth where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, his ethics, that's what he did. He went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book or scroll of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is what?
Upon me.
Because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and the recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord," or the timeliness of God's promise is now, is literally what it reads. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. When we've confessed with our mouths the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in our hearts God raised him from the dead, the Spirit of God is in us, and it is permanently there. That contact point and that communication point between God and man and God remains always. We have it there. God directed Jesus Christ what to do by way of the Spirit that was upon him. You and I have that Spirit within us, and God can also direct us. Isn't that beautiful? And he closed the book, or the scroll, and he gave it again to the minister and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." And all bare him witness and wondered at the gracious words which proceeded out of his mouth. And they said, "Is not this Joseph's son?" And he said unto them, "Ye will surely say unto me this proverb, 'Physician, heal thyself. Whatsoever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country.' And he said, 'Verily, verily, I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elijah, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elijah sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon," which was a Gentile city, "unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel in the time of Elisha, the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, save Naaman the Syrian," another Gentile. "And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with..." Well, all of a sudden, they weren't such gracious and wonderful words. And all he's telling them is about healings. all he's telling them about is deliverance. But they had a different mindset. They wanted more of a social grace and so forth. And all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with love, were filled with amazement. Isn't that wonderful how God did that? No, they were filled with wrath. And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him unto the brow of the hill whereon the city was built, that they might cast him down, what?
Headlong.
They were going to toss him off a cliff. But he, passing through the midst of them, went his way and came down to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and taught them on the Sabbath day. That God, that creator of the heavens and the earth, that God, that covenant maker, that God that has the ability to bless regardless of situation, circumstances, or any other thing, that God who is a father was able to navigate him right through that entire crowd, and they never even saw him go by. Here they got him and they're ready to shove him off of a mountain, and he disappears and he's gone. That God who is God on the mountain is still God when you're down in the valley. That God who is the God of the good times is still God Almighty even in the bad times. That God who is God in the daytime is still God in the night. And he was able to pass through. I remember reading about, and Connie sharing this a number of times, about the woman in a mall in Rwanda, and a bunch of soldiers, an army of evildoers, came in and they shot up and killed the people in the mall. And she was crouched down in the open, hiding with her two children. And a soldier walked up and looked right at her, looked down at the children, looked at her, and walked off. And she and her children made it out of that mall alive. Because our God, who is God in the light, is still God, even in the darkness. That is the comfort we should have, and that is the believing we should have. Well, let's go back to some... I was going to read that to you to start off with, Psalm 139. Psalm 139. You know, we may think that that things are so negative and so evil and so dark, but that same God is still there with us, with all of those qualities, with all of those abilities, and with all of those virtues. He is our God, and he is our Father. The 139th Psalm says, O Lord, thou hast searched me and know me. You know me, Father. Thou knowest my downsitting and my uprising. Thou understandest my thoughts afar off. Even before I even thought about them, you knew about them. And you loved me. And you chose me. And you sent your Son, Jesus Christ, knowing the way that I would think at times. You sent your Son, Jesus Christ, to save me when you knew how at times I may get confused. You knew me how at times I might even be angry at you, Lord. You knew what my thoughts would go, and yet You never left me. You never forsook me. You sent the Lord Jesus Christ. He endured. He loved me so much. He endured everything for me. And you never forgot me. And you never will. Yeah, I think it's in, where is it, in Isaiah, where it says that our names are tattooed on the palms of our hands and they're ever before him. He just watches over. And our God, I am the Lord, I change not. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and how long? Even back then, before I was even born, knowing my thoughts and knowing what I would do and what I wouldn't do, you sent your son to be my savior. And that we, each of us, can say with full confidence, you knew my downsittings and my uprising, and my thoughts afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and are acquainted with all of my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thy hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It's too high. I cannot attain to it. I can't grasp it. But I know you told me that. And I believe whatever that means, you, Father, will do it. Because you're the God on the mountaintop who is still God when I'm down in the valley. You knew it. You saw me in the valley, and you lighted my path through the valley. You're the God who is God on the good times, and I know it. When I was rejoicing and I was there with everyone, or I was there by myself, giving thanks to you and praising you and saying all those wonderful things, and you still, God, when I wasn't. You still, God, when I was doubting, but you saw it, you lighted my path, and you led me out of my doubts. And you're the God in the daytime when I walked boldly and confidently and proudly and all of that. And you're still God in the nighttime when I turned away, when I looked away, when I was taken by surprise, when I was deceived and all of those things. And you lighted my path and you led me right out. Beautiful. Well, such knowledge is too wonderful for me. How you did it, why you did it, all of those things. I just know you love me, but I can't understand that wonderful love. And yet, you even allow me to share it with other people, a love that I can't even explain. And you allowed me to enjoy and register a love I can't even explain. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, you're there on the mountaintop. And if I make my bed in hell in the grave, you're even there. Behold, thou art there. Even when I die and they lay me in the grave, God, you are still there, and you will get me up, and you will give me light and lead me right out of death into eternal life and into your glory and into your kingdom. It's more than I can imagine. But even if the darkest possible thing that could happen, I die, even then I'm not out of your sight. You know exactly where I am, and you have lighted my path, and you will raise me up and give me access and wonderful blessings in your kingdom. Is not our lives blessed? Is there not a reason to be thankful and just rejoice? If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost part of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me, because the God in the day is still God at night. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike, at least for God. He sees it. I am never lost from his sight. You are never lost from his sight. But God, I did such a terrible thing. He knew that. He knew your thoughts before you even got hooked. He knew you were going to be deceived. And yet, he sent the Lord Jesus Christ for you. And the Lord Jesus Christ saved you. And you did the one thing. You confessed him as your Lord. You believed in your heart God raised him from the dead. And there are even people who haven't even done that, that he will save through Jesus Christ. What a wonderful God. What a wonderful Father. What a wonderful Lord. Well, for verse 13, for thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. God, I don't even know where the Spirit of God that you put in me is, but I know it's there. And I know you made that secret place for me, and you made it for every man. How wonderful are you. I will praise thee. And that is part of why Thanksgiving is such an important time for us, to take time to give thanks, to speak in tongues in our private prayer lives, making perfect praise and prayer to God. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. And that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lower part, that is to say, the earth, or in the embryo, is the text or the word that's used is the word for embryo. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there were none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God! How great is the sum of them! If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. Surely thou wilt slay the wicked, O God. Depart from me, therefore, ye bloody men, for they speak against thee wickedly, and thine enemies take thy name in vain. And it goes on. But the important part is, and may we take remembrance of it this Thanksgiving, that the God on the mountain is still the God, is still God in the valley, and the God of the good times is still God, even in the bad. And the God of the day is still God in the night, and we can rely on him to direct our paths and lead us to the top of the mountain again. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding, and he will direct your path. God bless you. Happy Thanksgiving.